pointing out, "It's time, Greg, you're late." And we're on the air. Welcome again to Bethel Baptist Church evening service. What a pleasure and a joy it is to be here this evening and to just gather together with the people of God to praise our Almighty Creator, the Holy God that has formed us and created us by His very word. And if my pianist would quit taking off, no, just kidding. We'll start off as we always like to do, for verses 1 and 2 of 255, Blessed Assurance. Yeah, I know. Blessed Assurance, number 255. Thank you for your divine presence, for your blessing upon us and to us. But Lord, we have been here from the morning and on into the evening, and we rejoice together with you. We rejoice together in your presence to praise your holy name. And we gather, Lord, because we are your children and you have called us to gather to encourage one another, to edify the body of Jesus Christ, and to help us to remember to serve with a heart of joy, to serve with a heart of grace and peace, a heart of hope. And Lord, I pray that you bless this evening and use it to grow us closer to you for your praise and for your honor, for your glory. We pray that you be with Pastor and Raquel who is there in Argentina. You encourage their hearts and strengthen them. And use them in a mighty way for your divine service. In Jesus' holy precious name. Amen. Okay. So what would you guys like to sing? You got a listener and interchanging? No one? Oh, what's that? Jesus Loves Me. 479. When we go to Pacific Hills, that is Fred's favorite. We don't have any pastor's choir, so it'll be me. Unless Devin wants to help out. No, okay. 479, we'll sing the first and the second. Jesus Loves Me. Thank you.
504. Sweet by and by. Oh, yes. Pastor, and said that they're not going to spend their time singing or pursuing the things of the sweet by and by, the eternal out there, but just what do we do here and now? And I think, but what did Paul say? Where's our hope? Our hope is in the unseen. It's in that eternal life. And that's the real blessing that we have, is that we have eternal life through Jesus Christ. Let's go to number 388. Have thine own way, Lord. Amen. Joe.
Number 27.
Okay. I sing the mighty power of God. Amen.
Thank you.
get to you in just a minute, Brent. When we're looking about all this sky, the stars and the sun and all that stuff, when did life come into existence? When do we have this? No, the first day, God said, let there be light, and there was light, dividing the light from the darkness. When did the sun come into existence? Fourth day. So how was light and day and night maintained during those 4 days? God did. And you know where we've got the proof of that? In the book of Revelation, chapter 20. And it says, the Lamb is the light thereof. No need for the sun or the moon, because the Lamb is the light. And so, it is not a difficulty to understand how there could be light for 4 days without a sun, because we didn't have the sun, S-U-N, but we had the sun, S-O-N. And he kept the light shining. Amen. Bernie! 332. Jesus, I love thee. Amen. Chris gave me a list and says, I need these. Okay. And he's teaching tonight, so we'll give him some slack. 256.
Oh,
truly well with my soul to be in the hands of God and to know that you are loved by Him. Got time for a couple more. Trish. 496. Victory in Jesus. Amen. That's what we've got. So as of tomorrow, unfortunately, I will have one less child. Our Japanese child is going back to Japan. But Connie is leaving us and going back to her family in Japan, and it's been a blessing to have her here. And we just rejoice together that we've been able to spend this time and just praising the Lord together. Some of you don't know, but her father is a pastor in Japan. And so we praise the Lord together. We are one family, regardless of where we live. We are related. So, 132, He Lives.
Thank you.
time for one more before I give Chris the last shot. Does anyone else have another one? 19. Okay. The God of Abraham prays. All right. Now we know Henry's favorite. Or is that yours? Okay. Somebody's. pleasure. And tonight, you get to hear from our brother Chris as he brings you a word that God has laid upon his heart.
Brother? All right, God bless you guys. All right, last time we talked about needing to decrease the parts of ourselves that are not of God, that resist God's will, that is lukewarm to God, and how we need to have God increase in us. The parts in us that are against God's will, the parts of us that is the human aspect, the flesh aspect, the part of us that wars against the Spirit, that it needs to decrease. And when we have the Lord replace it, then we have joy in doing His will. Then it is wonderful, and we are blessed, and we are glad that we are redeemed. So we're going to continue, and now we're going to talk about growing in the Lord Jesus Christ to perfection. The beauty of it, the calamity of it, and just worship God. So let's all pray together. Father, I thank You so much, Lord God Almighty, that You have given us a sweet joy, Lord God Almighty. You have given us so many wonderful things to enjoy, Lord God. Lord, we have hard times as well, Lord, but Your Word says that we should count it all joy, Lord. So, Lord, we just want to stand in Your Word, Lord God, and Lord, we need You to give us that joy that we can be able, Lord, to have joy in the hard times, Lord God Almighty, and we can rejoice even more, Lord God, in the great times, Father God. Everything is working together, Lord God, so that we can be a glorifying thing to You, Lord God Almighty. You have made us and not us ourselves, Lord God, and we have wonderful things in store, Lord God. Bless Your name, Lord God, and just bless this message, Lord God, and we thank You for this time, Lord God, and let everyone here just be blessed, Lord God, by what Your Spirit will reveal. So, Father, thank You so much in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Now, for the believer, what is the purpose of life? With all of its events, why do the things that happen to us happen? Well, our brother Greg actually preached about this today, and we both, I mean, I didn't know that he was going to preach Romans chapter 8, but that actually was the first key verse for my sermon. So, we had Romans chapter 8 during Pacific Hills at the convalescent home, so this is a Romans chapter 8 day, so let's go right to it. Let's go to page 1230. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And it says this, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." For the believer, first of all, we have to know that everything is going to work together for good for us. Everything, absolutely everything, everything, I mean, even the worst experiences of your life are going to work together for good. For us, for the believers, amen. That is absolutely wonderful. Now let's go to verse number 29. It says, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son." And that's the key, is that we are to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, growing into that perfect image of our Heavenly Father who loves us. Now, in this whole process, we all, through our own life experiences, understand that there are good times and there are bad times. Now, Ecclesiastes puts this out pretty well. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, which is on page 748. Ecclesiastes, always have a problem with that one. Chapter 3 and verse 1 through 8. And these are the seasons of life. And despite these seasons, despite the hard times, it's all about growing in God. "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, which means tear apart, and a time to sow. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. Wow. That is a big experience of life. That is one huge chunk of cheesecake for you guys. Now, it is so amazing when we consider this, that these are all things, these are all aspects of our life. And all of these things, because of God's genius, it works together for good. Now, let's find out a little bit more about the aspects of God getting us to be in His perfect image. So the first thing we need to look at is how we are changed people. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 8. Now, God describes us as being like clay. And this is what this introduces. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8, and page 818. And it says this. But now, O Lord, You are our Father, we are the clay, and Thou our potter, and we all the work of Your hands. Amen? Amen. Now, we have to consider the fact that we all came from being pretty bad vessels. You know, except for, you know, Jesus Christ, we've all been born sinners. So, God takes that, though, smashes it, and starts to shape us anew. He starts to form us all throughout our life. We have these experiences of sowing, of tearing things apart, of going through times of sadness, of going through times of pain, and times of we go through horrible times, you know. But we also go through wonderful, incredibly joyous experiences, and all of this is all part of us being conformed to the perfect image of Jesus Christ. Now, what God says, though, is that we need to rejoice and again rejoice. And it even specifically says that in the hard times of our life, that we need to count it all joy when we fall into all of the temptations that were when we were a broken, horrible piece of clay, basically, into a pot, you know, when we were just a broken pot. You know, when God breaks us, you know, starts us all over again, it just starts to mold us. You know, we want to go back into the old image. We know it. We're comfortable with it. You know, there's comfort in going back into our old sins. There's comfort in that nostalgia. But God wants us to be courageous. And He wants us to go forth into the new image that God wants us to be. He wants us to continually be growing into something that is not who we used to be. And that takes a very brave heart. But God says, be of good courage, be strong, be very strong and of very good courage. Now, I think that we should just be happy that we are vessels of honor. Let's go to Romans chapter 9. And God talks a little bit more about how we are indeed vessels. Romans chapter 9, which is in page 1231. And it says this, hath not the potter, verse 21 by the way, hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy, which He had afore prepared unto glory. Now, just with the knowledge that I am not a vessel of wrath who is going to inherit everlasting fire and torment, I mean, that's why God says that the things we go through in this life are light afflictions. It's so small when you consider what the wicked have to go through throughout eternity. So if you need any fuel to kind of get you in the direction of being rejoicing and being just happy, it's just in our salvation alone. You can just go there. You know, and then all these other blessings in life are just even extra on top of that, so that our cup runs over. We are so incredibly blessed. I am so glad that I have the joy of knowing of my salvation. That alone right there is a perfect foundation for why we can be joyous all the time. All the time in our lives is just that. Just knowing that God has made you. And He is a master. He is a master artist. You are in good hands. And He's going to mold you to perfection. What a privilege to be able to do that. My friend Barry said, you know, Chris, it's such a privilege going through all these hard times. It's such a privilege to go through hardship. It's so great when things don't work out the way I want it to. And I just thought about that. I was like, yeah, that's totally 100% accurate. It is a privilege because that has the fingerprints of God on it. That this is part of us getting to that perfect image of Jesus Christ. Now let's talk about plants. That's another way that God, He refers to us as being like plants. Let's go to John chapter 15, which is in page 1170. John chapter 15, and we'll start at verse 1. And it says, I am the true vine, this is Jesus Christ speaking, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. That it may bring forth more fruit. That's the key here. When God starts you out like this, that, you know, this isn't it. God wants to take you from here, which is, for people who are listening, it's just a budded rose. There's no color to it. There's really nothing going on here. It's just green, and that's just about it. But as time goes on, and we live this life that God has set forth for us, and we walk in His Word, and we get the water of the Holy Spirit, and we just get the experience of living a life with God, we start seeing some color in our lives. There's beauty that starts to show up. And God isn't even done. When we start seeing a little bit, we start to see even more. We see more and more. God just continually waters us, just continually has His sun shining on us until we get to be totally in the image of Jesus Christ. The Rose of Sharon. Totally beautiful as beautiful can be. That is what God wants us to do. God is the one who does these things. This is an encouragement to continue on. When you're going through those hard times, this is just part of the growing process. Just have that knowledge. You know, when we get into those hard times, we forget the benefits of God. God in His Word even says specifically, forget not His benefits. It makes the hard times a lot easier when you know that it's all for a reason. Amen? So, when you see this, when you see that you're in a time when, wait a minute, whoa, what happened to all that fruit? He's pruning you so that you can bear more fruit. And sometimes we get some dead fruit on us. Sometimes we, you know, depart from the faith for a little bit. We do some really dumb things. You know, we sin. You know, we're imperfect. I'm sorry, but we are absolutely imperfect. And every single person here is an imperfect human being. You know, just that's it. But the great thing is that God has said in His Word that the work that He has begun in us, He's going to finish it. It is such a blessing to know this. There are so many times in my own walk when I have felt that the Lord has just given up on me, that I've lost it, that I've gone too far, or you know that I'm just totally in the wrong, and then He blesses me, And then He brings the right person to talk to me, and I feel His goodness again. And one of the most important verses for me in my life has been that it's the goodness of God that brings people to repentance. You know, and that's 100% true. God has proven it to me. Whenever I get off and I start living, you know, my own way, and I start feeling the spiritual darkness, and I'm just like, man, you know, I guess this might be it. I feel God's goodness, and it's like, okay, I'm going back. And He welcomes me with open arms. Prodigal son, right here, you know. He welcomes me back. You know, and it's all having to do with His character. You know, none of us, you know, could be able to be so forgiving as God is. I mean, and you consider where God is at. God has to deal with the entire universe. He has to deal with everybody's garbage. And still, His heart is just totally loving toward us. I mean, we see how just one or two people can make us better sometimes. But God has a heart of love for us always. One of the things I like to say is, you know, He's always got the green light on for us. You know, He's always saying, come on, yeah, let's go, come on. You know, you may have to start here. You know, but He's got this in mind. Now, there's three important things that we do get to see grow and are perfected by being in God. I see love, faith, and holiness. But don't trust me. Let's go to the Word. Let's go to 1 John. 1 John, which is in page 1331. Chapter 4, verses 17 to 18. And it said, the Word of God says this: herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. As time goes by in this life, we're going to have so much less anxieties. We're not going to be wrapped up in all the things of this world. We're going to bloom and we're going to be happy. We're going to finally have so much of the fruit of God's Spirit. It's going to be an absolute blessing. Now, it says here, perfect love casts out fear. And when we have bold love, that's when it's perfected. Bold love. When on Judgment Day, we know God loves us because we've known the Lord Jesus Christ. We have overcome the wicked one. We know our sins are forgiven. So, for every single one of these, I've put a little note that says, why do we need it? So, why do we need love? So, let's go and find the answer to that. And it's in page 1331. If you guys can follow along, if you don't, I'll just say it though. But it's in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, and it just says, he that loves not knows not God, period. For God is love. So, it's important because if you do not love, you do not know God. And our goal is to have perfect love, of course, and that's having boldness in your love. Now, the second thing that we get to see grow and be perfected in God is faith. Let's go to page 1313. And that is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Page 1313, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. And this is what it says. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Who perfects your faith? Amen. Jesus Christ is the one who perfects your faith. That is something that we can look forward to. We're going to eventually have the kind of faith that will move mountains. We're going to have the kind of faith where we'll be able to walk on water. That kind of thing. You know, I don't know. I think it's going to be at the end of our life, you know, because it's, you know, I mean, once my faith is completed, you know, I'm out of here. You know, I'm going to be with Jesus Christ forever after that. But the thing is that is one thing that we can look forward to, is having the kind of faith that Peter had when he was walking on the water. We can have the kind of faith that, you know, 1 Corinthians talk about, moving mountains. Incredible. that is something that we can really look forward to. And there's a little bit more that I want to go into about faith. Let's go to page 1320, which is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, page 1320. And this is what it talks about as far as faith. That the trial of your faith, what we're going through, this is the trial that we're going through, this is the test. Otherwise, you'd have all the answers. We're learning them, though, but the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. This is what we're going through as we grow. We are going through a fiery trial. And that's why, you know, it feels like you're getting burned sometimes. You know, it's really hard to be obedient to God sometimes. You're really in some spiritual warfare. You are really, you know, you're suffering. You are going through really hard times. But it's part of our growth. And it says right here, it's more precious to God than any material substance in this entire world. If you want to know what the most precious thing in this entire world is, it's inside of you. You know, it's our faith. And the number one most precious thing, of course, in all of anything is, of course, Jesus Christ. Now, of course, why do we need faith? Well, hello. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So now we come to the third thing, is holiness. A hard one, but the most incredible. Holiness. That's in page 1260, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. So on page 1260, in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1, it says, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit." Now remember that keeps in mind that there is spiritual filthiness. Okay. "Perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Perfecting holiness. When you go through those times, you remember, this is just perfecting holiness. That's what this is. This is all about perfecting love, perfecting faith, perfecting holiness. That's what this is about. Why do we need holiness? Well, the Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Amen? So, the question is, how do we get on this path of growth, of being shaped into perfection? Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2, and that is on page 1234. And on verse 1 it says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Be a living sacrifice. When you wake up in the morning, you got to remind yourself, I am a living sacrifice. I got a purpose. I am being conformed to the perfect image of God. Everything that happens in this day is going to work together for good. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And then just walk in love, faith, and holiness. This is the way. Now, what's the hope? Let's go to 1278. That's Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. I said it before, but I just want to say it again. "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." God is going to finish the work that he has begun in you. That is another great hope. Now we have to go to the attitude. So we go to James. We go to the chapter that talks about dealing with the hard times. If there ever was a chapter, this is the chapter. So James is in page 1315, and we're going to go to verse number 2, and it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, diverse trials, all the hard stuff, basically. Everything in this life that's hard for you, whether it be just grief or who knows, just anything that it is." It says, "Count it all joy, knowing this, having this knowledge, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Perfect and entire. That's what this is working. When you allow yourself to go through these times where it's just really hard, this is one of the great things that you can have as an attitude is, first of all, I'm happy. I am happy. I am joyous. Now, that doesn't come from you. That comes from God. But the second part is the fact that, man, I'm going to be perfect and entire because of this. I'm not even going to be wanting anything. The Lord is my shepherd, and as He guides me, I shall not want. And if any of you guys lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, nothing wavering at all. You are ready to be a living sacrifice. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. There's a little fear of the Lord for you. Right there. That's fear of the Lord. Knowing that you're not going to receive anything if you're wavering all over the place. You're for God. And then you start to do things for God. So, beloved, let's go ahead and go to 1 Peter. This is going to be the closing verse. Chapter 4, verses 12 to 13. That's just a few pages to your right. 1323 is the page number. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 to 13. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Amen. Father God, I thank You so much, Lord God, that Lord, You are such a blessing to every single person here, Lord God. Lord, that Your heart is so open and filled, Lord God, with perfect, bold love, Lord God Almighty. Lord, as You are, Lord, we really want to be. Lord, we just ask that You would just help us, Lord God, as You are trying us, as You are testing our faith, as we go through these hard times, Lord God Almighty. And Lord, when we do the wrong things, Lord God Almighty, we just ask for Your goodness to just overcome us, Lord, that we come right back to You, running into Your arms, Abba Father, Daddy Father. Thank You, Lord God Almighty. Father God, I thank You, Lord God, that through these sufferings, Lord God, we get to know what Jesus Christ went through, Lord God. Lord, He was a man of sorrows. He was stricken with grief, Lord God Almighty, and He was tempted just like us, Lord God, in every single way, Lord, but without sin, Lord. So we get to know Jesus Christ so much more, Lord God, through these. And we get to be hardened, Lord God, to be strong vessels, Lord, for You. Lord, vessels of mercy who You're going to pour out Your blessings upon, Lord God. And in the world to come, Lord God, let us have our hope, Lord God, in the perfect image that You are going to make us, Lord. We cannot do it, Lord God, so we need You to increase in us. And we pray, Lord God, we ask that You would do this, Lord God. We ask, Lord God Almighty, that Your Spirit would fall on this church, Lord God. That Your Spirit would fall on us, Lord God, when we are in our private times, Lord God. When we are around other people, Lord God Almighty. When we grow fearful, Lord God, of men, Lord, we ask that Your Spirit would just overcome us, Lord God, to make us not fearful of men, Lord God, to be overcomers of the world, Lord God Almighty. Lord, we thank You for this, Lord. Lord, knowing that You are good, Lord, knowing that You are awesome, Father God, and worthy of everything that we can do for You, every bit of strength that we can work toward You, Lord God Almighty, You are worthy of it, Lord God Almighty. Thank You in Jesus' name, Lord God. Amen.
Thank you, Chris. And that concludes this evening. God bless you.